Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Several days ago on the program, I spoke about the gift of wisdom given to us by the Holy Spirit when we're confirmed. Today, I want to say something about the second gift, which is understanding, wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, fear of the Lord. What do those gifts mean? And I referred to wisdom. Today, I'm going to refer to understanding. Listen to this. This is the gift that's in you. It may be dormant because you, by your free will, need to activate it, but it's in you. Through this gift, the Holy Spirit, who sees into the depths of God, that comes from 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10, the Holy Spirit who sees into the depths of God communicates to the believer a glint of such a penetrating capacity, opening the heart to the joyous understanding of God's loving plan. I begin to see who I am and what God's plan is for us and what God's plan is for me. I begin to get an understanding. This supernatural intelligence is given not only to individuals, but also to the community, to pastors as successors of the apostles, our heirs to the specific promise made to them by Christ, and to the faithful, that's us, who thanks to the anointing of the Spirit, possess a special sense of the faith which guides them in their concrete choices. When you're making choices of any importance, not am I going to eat rye bread or whole wheat bread, but when you're being called upon to make choices that are significant choices, important ones, God wants to give you the gift of understanding. He's given it to you so that you may be able to have a special sense of the faith which guides you in your concrete choices. The light of the Spirit, in fact, while it sharpens the understanding of divine things, renders ever more clear and penetrating the understanding of human things. When you more clearly, through the gift of understanding, begin to grasp God's picture for the universe, for life eternal, when you begin to understand that, then that understanding opens you not only to that understanding, but it makes more clear and penetrating the understanding of human things. In other words, oh, this is why I'm living this life. Now, that doesn't mean we get a total picture. We're not God. But there is a gift of understanding so that, as 1 Corinthians, and I quoted this, in the Spirit enables us to see into the depths of God. And it communicates to the believer a glint of such a penetrating capacity, opening the heart to the joyous understanding of God's loving plan. And the more you understand God's loving plan, though we'll never see it in total, but to see enough that we can begin to participate in God's action. And if we live by the commandments and we call upon the gifts and we repent when we fail, God's Holy Spirit shares himself with us. It's quiet. There's no drum rolls. There's no trumpet blasts. It's quiet, but it's incredibly life-changing. And God wants to give you that gift. He gave it to you. I don't say he wants to give it to you. He gave it to you. But it lies dormant within us unless we open our hearts. So think about what I've said about wisdom and about understanding. I'm only scratching the surface. All I want to do at this point is make you curious. I want you to read the Catechism. Read it on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Take time. Your life will change as a result of it. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 11. Brothers and sisters, consider this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each must do as already determined, without sadness or compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Moreover, God is able to make every moment of grace where he shares himself with you, he makes every grace abundant for you so that in all things, always having all you need, notice all you need, you may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. The one who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness. We grow in love of God. We grow in the wisdom of God. We grow in understanding. And when we do, we impart, just by the way we live, we impart a certain sense of direction that can be attractive to other people. Why do you think like that? Why do you always stop in church? Why this? Why that? You seem to know God, people will say. You seem to know God. How could that be? God wants to use you. The one who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You are being enriched in every way for all generosity, which through us produces thanksgiving to God. So, brothers and sisters, not in any exaggerated way, but every day examine your conscience. Every day repent for your sin. Go to the sacrament of reconciliation. It clears out the debris. It does. And it makes you able to hear more clearly what God is saying to you, how God is directing you. I'm not talking about audible voices. I'm talking about inspirations. I'm talking about those moments where the clarity comes, you know, the light comes on and you say, oh my goodness, I never saw that before. That's God. God has so much that he wants to give you, so much. God is able to make every grace abundant for you, so that in all things, having all you need, you may have an abundance for every good work. You are being enriched in every way for all generosity, which through us produces thanksgiving to God. How often do you thank God? Take time every day to thank him for at least one thing. Every day, thank him. Let thanksgiving become part of your life. Repentance become part of your daily life. It won't lead you to condemnation. It'll lead you to freedom. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, the one who hears the Lord's word and obeys it, the one who cares for the poor as God has asked us to. Think about this. It's the life that God has for you. The verse before the gospel says, whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him. That's a promise, brothers and sisters. Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him. Read the scriptures every day. And the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 1 to 6, and then 16 to 18. Jesus said to his disciples, take care not to perform righteous deeds in order that people may see them. Otherwise, you will have no recompense from your heavenly Father. So we can't avoid a thought crossing our mind or two, but you don't live out of them and you don't follow them. Take care not to perform righteous deeds in order that people may see them. Otherwise, you will have no recompense from your heavenly Father. When you give alms, do not blow a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets to win the praise of others. They really did. They blew trumpets when they gave alms so that everybody could see how wonderful they were. It's called hypocrisy. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right is doing. In other words, don't think about it at all. Do what God asks you to do and let it go. Let God give the reward when and how he wants. Don't chalk up your brownie points. When you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right is doing so that your almsgiving may be secret. and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on street corners so that others may see them. Amen, I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you pray, go to your inner room, close the door, pray to your Father in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. That doesn't mean you have to cloak it in some exaggerated secrecy. It just means you don't go around talking about, as I was praying today, I actually pray an hour or two every day. As I was praying today, we're quick to promote ourselves, always. That's what you give up. Put it away. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. They neglect their appearance so that they may appear to others to be fasting. They made sure their faces were dirty and their clothes were torn, and that was a sign of fasting and prayer. And they made the whole world aware of it. Jesus says, amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. In other words, they got the praise of the crowds around them. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you may not appear to others to be fasting, except to your Father who is hidden. And your Father who sees what is hidden will repay you. See, doesn't that take faith? We're looking for something to build us up, and so we indulge in a bit of self-promotion so that others can praise us and makes us feel good about ourselves. But brothers and sisters, in a sense, that nullifies the good deed we might be doing, because we really are doing it for ourselves, not for God. So we have to purify our motives, which means that there are times when I just plunge into something and don't think until I confront my own sin. At the beginning of doing something, say, Lord, I want to do this for your honor and glory. That's all. It's for you. I give you this action, whatever, this work, whatever it is you're doing, that you may be honored and glorified. And then just repeat it over and over. As soon as you start saying, oh, I hope so-and-so sees this, or I hope I'm recognized for this, or whatever happens in our own minds, just stop and say, Lord, I want this for your glory. And eventually, that motivation will triumph. Eventually. So just keep doing it. Even if you say, gee, I turn to myself 2 seconds after I say it. Just say it. And keep coming back to it. And thanking God for the opportunity to serve him. And when nobody knows what you've done for another, and you indulge in a little self-pity party, stop as soon as you recognize it and say, Lord, it is an awesome privilege to serve you. And if you are the only one who saw what I intended to do or what I did do, if you're the only one that saw it, may you be even more honored and glorified. Amen. That's your posture. You do that, God will change your life. That's not an exaggeration. God will change your life. God bless you. For a free copy of my latest booklet, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings, please call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.